Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi there, everybody. I am Andrew Egger with The Bulwark, joined by our economics reporter, Catherine Rampell, to talk about the latest in Donald Trump's long-running, sometimes low-simmering, but always there fight against Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Powell's term atop the Fed is up next month. You would think, under ordinary circumstances, that that would be just sort of the peaceable ending to this fight. But it might not end up being quite that easy for reasons that we're going to talk about. We'll start with just sort of the headline news today of Donald Trump in an interview with Fox Business's Maria Bartiromo, saying that even though the chair is supposed to be up next month, he still might get fired after all. So let's hear the president saying that.
So you're not going to drop the probe?
Oh, I'm not playing. I have to find out.
And he said he's not leaving if, you know.
Well, then I'll have to fire him, okay? If he's not leaving on time, I've held back firing him. I've wanted to fire him, but I hate to be controversial, you know? I want to be uncontroversial. But
and you think Kevin Warsh can get confirmed? You think Tom Tillis is going to give you
a vote?
Well,
we're going to have to find out. He might not, but that's why Tom Tillis is no longer a senator.
There's a lot to unpack in all of that from our famously most uncontroversial president that we've seen in many lifetimes. But Catherine, can you just kind of walk us through this weird Mexican standoff that's happening right now with Tillis and Kevin Warsh and Jerome Powell and Trump?
It's a Mexican standoff in which all of the players are Donald Trump pointing all of the guns at Donald Trump, I guess, in the sense that the reason why Jay Powell may stick around longer than, you know, he otherwise would is that Donald Trump is investigating him. So Donald Trump, to sort of lay it out a little bit more chronologically, the Fed is supposed to be politically independent, has been politically independent. Presidents are not supposed to weigh in on Fed policy. Donald Trump did not get the memo. Donald Trump has been pushing for the Federal Reserve to reduce rates basically every time he's president. Presumably he feels less strongly about that when he was out of office. The result is that when the Fed does not listen to him because they don't think a rate cut is necessarily appropriate for the economy at that point, Donald Trump gets mad. And what does Donald Trump do when he gets mad? He does what he always does, which is weaponize the powers of the federal government against his perceived political enemy. In this case, that perceived political enemy is the Fed chair, Jerome Powell. Now, for Powell, from Powell's perspective, he does not consider himself, you know, Trump's enemy. He does not consider himself Trump's friend. He considers himself Trump's nothing. He is just there to be a nerdy technocrat assessing whether the economy needs a little bit more stimulus or a little bit more stepping on the brakes, essentially. But that doesn't play well with Donald Trump. So Donald Trump has launched this criminal investigation, or his DOJ has anyway, into Jerome Powell. A court said, No, you cannot do that. You know, the judge's opinion, actually, I don't think we have it in front of us, but was like pretty striking, basically saying this is transparently an attempt to try to get Powell to cut interest rates and to politicize the Fed. This is not this investigation is not justified in any way by any evidence.
Can I just cut in real quick to remind people about sort of the substance of this supposed allegation. You know, the judge was not the first person ever to float the idea that this might be sort of a politicized thing. The first we ever heard of the possibility of this investigation was as an internal White House strategy to say, okay, we're not 100% sure we would get away with firing Jay Powell without cause because of protections that he has as part of an independent agency in the law. But what if we found a cause that we could use to fire him? And the cause... The amazing cause that they settled on was that perhaps he had been doing a bad job in his role as not as the steward of the whole economy, but as kind of the guy who supervises on a sort of administrative level the Federal Reserve itself. And they said, there's all these cost overruns in this renovation of the Fed building, the Fed headquarters in Washington, D.C. This is an outrage. Jay Powell must answer for his crimes. And that is the actual substance of you know, again, the entire investigation and everything that the judge was correctly responding to. So I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to make
that's an important,
you can go ahead.
Important point of clarification. Also, a sort of an important, I don't know if irony is the right word, in that Donald Trump cannot conceive of the idea that, you know, a building renovation would be handled by anyone other than the most senior person in that department or agency or group, right? Like Donald Trump is personally overseeing the ballroom. So of course, Jerome Powell must be personally overseeing all of the marble finishes in the Eccles building or whatever. Yes. So basically a judge said, no, can't do this. No matter I have to go sort of chronologically. Jerome Powell's term and term as chair of the Fed, not his term on the board of the Fed, because those are technically two separate things. That ends in May. And obviously, he is not getting reappointed. The person that Donald Trump wants to appoint to succeed Jerome Powell is this guy, Kevin Warsh, who his entire career was known as an inflation hawk, basically wanted tighter monetary policy, but lo and behold, has changed his tune just in time to accept this nomination. And now he wants looser monetary policy, i.e. the lower interest rates that Donald Trump just coincidentally also happens to want. Kevin Warsh, very like smooth operator, well-connected guy, smart guy, has been around for a while. He normally would sail through no problem through this confirmation process, except for the fact that Tom Tillis, the senator from North Carolina, who is retiring, has said, I like Kevin Warsh, but I will not allow any Fed appointment to go through, including of the guys that I like Kevin Warsh, until Donald Trump drops this bogus investigation of Jerome Powell. So if Trump were smart, what he would do is say, like, this, you know, I can resolve this myself. I'm the arsonist and the firefighter here. I started the investigation. I can drop the investigation. I can get my guy in. Instead, he has doubled down and he has said, no, actually, he's really mad that Jerome Powell has said that he might stick around after his term officially ends as chair if Kevin Warsh is not already in place.
Which, to clarify, it's not even hardly a discretionary thing on Powell's part, right? That's just kind of what happens.
Yes.
The existing Fed chair does not step down if there is not yet a confirmation or a nominee lined up to take his place who's been confirmed by the Senate.
Correct. By law, that is allowed. It doesn't usually happen because there isn't usually this kind of kerfuffle, right? Or whatever.
Right.
There isn't this kind of impasse, I guess, over the appointee, because usually it's like somebody who they already have buy-in on and there isn't some other legal obstacle in the way. And Jerome Powell, I should also say, so Powell said he would stick around if as chair, you know, serving longer if there is no one in place to replace him, i.e. Kevin Warsh. But he also might retain his position on the Fed board. Remember how I said that they're like two separate appointments? He might stay on the Fed board, which is, in fact, very unusual. It's totally allowed. It almost never happens. Usually, once you're the boss, like, you don't want to go back to being just another member, right? Like, somebody else is the boss. Like, it's kind of demoralizing. Mm-hmm. But Powell basically said, if this investigation is not done, I am sticking around, and maybe I'll even stick around longer, depending on what I think is best for the Fed as an institution. Basically, he wants this bogus probe into him, you know, this very political investigation into him dropped. He wants no even hint that it will be continued or revived if it is dropped. So so that's the very long-winded backstory. This week, as I said, as you pointed out, Donald Trump said, well, maybe I'm just going to fire him anyway, again. Like, I'm going to try again. I guess he didn't technically try before. He's tried to fire other members of the Fed, or one member, Lisa Cook. And that also is working its way through the Supreme Court about whether he can fire anyone who is on this independent agency without proven cause. He has allegations, but nothing that's been proven in a court of law. And the woman in question, Lisa Cook, has denied the allegations related to mortgage fraud or whatever. So that happened this week. That happened today. And in addition, Jeanine Pirro, who is the the district attorney for DC, who was clearly auditioning to become the next attorney general now that Pam Bondi is gone. She sent her underlings to the Eccles building, to the Fed building, this construction site, to like poke around or something, and they were turned away. So this is from, a Politico story. In response, the Fed's outside counsel pointed to a judge's ruling quashing DOJ subpoenas, saying, quote, should you wish to challenge that finding, the courts provide an avenue for you, unquote, which is like about as spicy as any attorney representing the Fed might get. You know, the courts are a reasonable avenue for you. Basically, you know, jerks, don't just show up when a court has told you not to show up and you cannot continue this criminal investigation or your subpoenas. So that's where things stand. The upshot of all of this is really bad for inflation. Like the one thing that Donald Trump claimed that he would deliver, right? That he would deliver lower prices, by trying to politicize the Fed, that is likely to, in the long run, make the Fed's ability to promote price stability, low inflation, much worse. Because, like, in other countries, in any event, when you've had a very politicized central bank or a central bank that was not independent, in any event, under the control of politicians, politicians always want to print more money. That leads to more inflation. And even if they don't end up doing it, like, people don't really trust that the central bank will do the right thing on inflation because it's too painful to raise interest rates. So this is not just like it's improper for Donald Trump to be politicizing an independent agency and it's like unseemly. No, this actually, we've run this experiment many, many times before. And in fact, are in the middle of running it in places like Turkey. And it leads to much higher inflation. But like, this is not something Trump cares about. He just says, interest rates down now. Don't do what I want. I'm going to punish you and try to throw you in jail.
Yeah. And I feel like we should the fact that we can almost like breeze over in a story like this, the stuff you just brought up about Jeanine Pirro sending her mooks to just sort of like loom over the Fed building when they have literally already been stopped by a court from proceeding further in this investigation and have not, to my understanding, appealed or certainly not appealed successfully that ruling. I mean, that's just the baseline of sort of where we are. That's just kind of like another day in DC is astonishing. But I also wanted to dwell a little bit on what you were sort of alluding to at the end there of like the Trump theory of mind of this whole thing, because on its own terms, this investigation of Powell has failed. Like the whole predicate for it at the beginning was that this was going to give them an avenue to get him out faster than the May 15th deadline, right? I mean, that was the whole reason to do any of this in the first place. That deadline is now basically here. And if anything, the investigation now stands to risk the exact opposite happening of Jay Powell remaining in the chairmanship longer, and who knows how much longer, than he would otherwise be there. And yet, like, it's not just that Trump like can't, I mean, part of it obviously is that Trump really can't ever back down from these fights. It's sort of a macho posturing thing. But I really do think you watch that Bartiromo clip that we played at the beginning. He's like, of course we're not going to drop it. We need to get to the bottom of this. Like, I think in Trump's mind, he has completely imbibed like his own, he swallowed his own spin on this, that this is actually like a real, like, you know, scandal that calls out for redress. Oh, I totally think so. I totally think so.
But you think he's like offended by the finishings on the Eccles building, and he's like, that guy overpaid. I could have gotten it much cheaper. All those, you know, Granite County
yes,
cops or whatever.
I 100% believe that. That in his mind, I mean, nobody in the world is more susceptible to Donald Trump's propaganda than Donald Trump himself. I mean, I think this is sort of like a through line. So obviously we don't need to like, you know, dwell at length on the theory of mind here. Two bad possibilities. Either he's lying or he believes it. Neither of which reflect incredibly well on the president of the United States. I wanted to go a little bit into sort of beyond this Jay Powell fight, because obviously all of this is not taking place against a backdrop of like everything else in the economy doing awesome, right? I mean, we have had quite a lot of headlines, you know, even just today, sort of adjacent to this fight, but also like, you know, the stock market has plenty of other reasons to be spooked other than just meddling at the Fed. So should we just go through a couple of these here?
Sure. Although I was going to point out that Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, said yesterday something to the effect of, I understand if the Fed wants to wait and see on interest rates, which I was surprised by, because again, the party line from the White House, which should not be saying anything about the Fed, period. But it is ignoring that role. The party line is the Fed should cut interest rates. And Bessent said something like, it would be nice if they cut interest rates, but I understand if they want to wait and see because of, and now we can talk about the because of.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Let's dwell on Bessent for a minute here, because he's in such a weird spot. Like, I mean, Trump has said a couple times in public that Bessent is the reason that he has not tried harder to actively pursue firing Powell. So like, to a certain extent, Trump, in sort of the cosmology of his, you know, MOOCs, has kind of placed the responsibility for what's happening here. He's like, all right, Scott, you called this play. Let's see how your way of dealing with this goes. And that has caused a lot of pressure on Bessent even right now. So let's play a couple of clips here of Bessent weighing in on the latest dust up between Trump and Powell just in the last couple of days.
The president has publicly said that you are the reason that he has not fired Chairman Jay Powell. Will you make that case again to him, as he's recently said that he still wants to fire the chairman?
Look, I am very confident that the process that we have laid out in terms of Kevin Warsh, the becoming the next Fed chair, he's going to have the hearing on the 21st of this month. He's a great candidate. We know that the Republicans on the Senate Finance or Senate Banking Committee are aligned in that, and I am very optimistic that the Kevin Warsh will be the chair of the Fed on time, and that will be a moot question.
And let's do one more here specifically on the obvious follow-up to that, which is, well, how can you be so confident when Tom Tillis continues to pledge that he will stop this from happening unless this investigation is dropped? So here's Bessent again.
So the confirmation hearing set for next week for Kevin Warsh, but Tom Tillis, Senator Tom Tillis, is still a no, and he's holding firm on that. How are you going to win over Senator Tillis to get this confirmation out of committee?
Well, I'm sure Senator Tillis wants to do the best thing for the Federal Reserve, for the American people. He has publicly said that Kevin Warsh is a great candidate for the chair. So let's get to the hearings and see where we are then.
Maybe a little bit less insane than just saying, oh, you don't need to worry about Tom Tillis. He's not even a senator, like the president said in his interview, but still a little Pollyanna-ish there.
Well, what is Bessent supposed to say, right?
Like, right.
He's got to put the most lipstick that he can find on this pig here, which is that Trump has created this terrible situation that is of his own doing. You know, Kevin Warsh was going to just like slide into that slot unencumbered, could come in and do his best to cut interest rates. You know, he's only, even though he would be the chair of the Fed, he's only one of 12 votes. So he would still have to convince the other members of the Federal Open Market Committee, which is what sets interest rates. He got in his own way. Donald Trump got in his own way, and Bessent has to kind of finesse this and say, I'm confident it will work out, because he can't say, like, this is a totally bogus political investigation of Jerome Powell, and it'll, you know, it'll be dropped because he can't control what the president does. But he's just got to say, I'm confident it will work out. And he is correct. Bessent is correct that Tillis would allow Warsh to go through if Donald Trump would get out of his own way and stop his, like, you know, try to find some other way to quench his thirst for retribution and drop this case against Powell for that's, that again is totally bogus. He's right that that's what would happen. I mean, I guess it is still possible that Powell would stick around anyway and stay as a member of that board and vote on, be one of the 12 votes on interest rates. I think it's much less likely if this investigation definitively is over, but it's still a possibility. But like, let Trump have the tantrum then. In the meantime, get his guy in and he can't get out of his own way.
Man, it is really a mess, really genuinely a mess. And again, like I started to say before, like not the kind of mess that is the only economic mess happening right now. So the rest of what we got here, it's a little low calorie. It's basically just watching these guys squirm. But like the president's economic advisors are having a hard time. And this is not the only thing they're having a hard time with. Just in terms of general questions about inflation, general questions about gas prices, all this stuff. So let's just hit a couple of them. Let's hit the energy secretary. Let's hit Secretary Wright. Let's hear what he has got to say about the specific topic of gas prices. And I think we got a little bit of a before and after here.
Are you confident that gas will be back under $3 a gallon by the busy summer travel season, Mr. Secretary?
There's a very good chance that'll be true.
You've sounded more optimistic in past interviews, saying you expect gas prices to ease and that there's a good chance that prices could hit under $3 a gallon by this summer. Is that still your belief, particularly given today's blockade in the Strait, or has the dynamic changed there?
Well, by the summer is aggressive time frame now.
So there you go. I mean, it's a little cheap maybe, but it is in fact true that even the Trump's own economic advisors kind of had their fingers crossed this war in Iran was going to be a short-term thing that was going to be smoothed over very quickly.
Transitory.
Not really turning out that way. Yeah, transitory.
Transitory.
Oh my gosh. No, I
mean, it's really the same set of curses. In many ways, this is like, has these very funny echoes of things that happened during the Biden administration when we also saw gas prices spike, not because of things that Biden did. It was because Russia invaded Ukraine and that caused, energy markets to go haywire. But it's like a lot of the same stuff where, you know, oh, it's temporary, it's transitory, don't worry. It'll be done. Biden people also said the same thing about the increase in inflation that preceded that war. So I don't know. I mean, again, I don't know what else these guys could say. They're in a bad position because their boss is a bozo and can't get out of his own way. And so they can't say things that are like obviously true, like it is the war, it is our mistakes that led to these increases in gas prices. Instead, they're like preemptively basically blaming price gouging or blaming, corporate greed of various kinds.
Let's get to that because we have one. I mean, we have one just specifically on that. And this is just so funny because this is exactly the play that Biden tried to run, during a similar thing a couple years ago. But yes, let's hit that. Greedflation.
Be looking at Treasury to try to keep the retail gas stations honest that you did this on the way up. Better be doing this on the way down. And I'm sure the president will call out anyone who's a bad actor in terms of.
That sounds like a warning.
I am sure that everyone will be a good actor.
Greedflation.
Yeah, greed.
It's not the grocery stores. It's gas stations.
I know we're going to get some hate comments about this because I know that like there are a lot of people out there who believe in the greed story. As I have been saying before, like what matters is supply and demand. Companies are going to be greedy no matter what. They're going to try to maximize their profits no matter what. The question is, like, what does supply and demand look like? How much can they raise prices without losing customers? And Donald Trump has created the conditions here that allow them to raise prices, on gasoline. And in fact, they have to raise prices on gasoline because their input costs have gone up so much. And, you know, again, this is just like the supply and the demand curve intersecting at a much higher price point. And the idea that like this is just about jawboning companies into making less in profits or losing money, in fact, if you're a gas station right now, it's just, it's not going to work. It didn't work for Biden, and it didn't work for any other presidents who similarly launched like antitrust investigations every time gas prices spiked because of a natural disaster or some other supply disruption. It just, it doesn't work. And it's a little funny to me that they always try this play because it's the wrong explanation, right? But it also makes them look kind of ineffectual because it's like if gas prices stay high and Trump is jawboning gas stations, then it just looks like he can't control anything when he has claimed that he could. And, you know, there's also this phenomenon that economists know called rockets and feathers. Do you know what I'm referring to with gas prices? Okay. So rockets and feathers is the idea that gas prices in particular, they shoot up fast when they're rising and then they fall like a rocket and then they fall much more slowly. They drift down much more slowly like a feather. And this is a known phenomenon that is like basically always the case in gasoline markets for like complicated reasons, you know, about being risk averse or whatever. In any event, this always happens and it always frustrates presidents. This again frustrated Joe Biden as well, because it's like, well, the gas prices went up really fast. Why don't they go down really fast? And it's like, no, this is kind of, it's annoying. It's annoying for consumers and voters, certainly, but this is always how it works. And that's precisely what Scott Bessent was talking about. He's like, well, they went up fast. They should come down fast. And it's like, well, that's probably not going to happen, even if everything normalizes in the Strait of Hormuz and things reopen and, you know, oil supply gets back online and all of the things that would need to be predicates of that. It's not going to happen, but it's not going to stop the president from yelling, you know, old man yells at cloud, like the Simpsons meme. It's not going to stop him from yelling and he's just going to look silly.
I do take your point about the greedflation thing always being sort of a silly dodge from, you know, different administrations being like, well, don't blame us, blame them. Because, you know, it is always a little silly, but I do think there is like a particular savor. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems particularly funny to do it about gas stations. You know, the one institution in America whose products are literally interchangeable, like for every single company that's selling them and whose prices are posted outside where you can see them from the road and people drive around and they're like, you know, where can I get gas 2 or 3 cents cheaper? The idea that like there would be, you know, that one corporation could just profit by gouging, right?
They're not raising prices because like that's the moneymaker. They're raising prices because their costs have gone up a lot. They need to get people in the door so that they'll buy the slushy or something, you know? So anyway, it's just,
yeah, but that's where the money is. There's always money in the slushy machine. Exactly. I don't know. I think we can probably call it there. Things aren't going very well. I kind of hope Jerome Powell stays on the job and the president doesn't try anything really drastic. I kind of hope the Strait of Hormuz reopens. I kind of hope we start feathering rather than rocketing the gas market soon, but whatever happens, we'll be here to talk about it. So thanks Catherine for coming on to talk through this stuff with us. Thanks to all you guys out there for watching and for subscribing to the feed. I'm thanking you in advance if you haven't done it yet. And you can justify that by scrolling down a little bit and hitting that big button now. I was going to say big red button, but I actually don't remember. I assume it's red. Subscribe to the YouTube feed, head over to Substack, get our stuff, and we'll see you all next time.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.